going back to regionals, where we put ourselves in the best position to win like we did, but like we knew at regionals, we didn't necessarily have to win regionals, but we wanted to win regionals really bad. I don't know. I wanted just to win and just to stay winning and everything. I didn't want to give up. Like we won pretty much every big 5A event you could go to. We won every 5A event we went to this year. You know, right. Won every 5A duel. I don't know, regionals was just good though. What we did this year that was different than last year's regional is we were able to push. We qualified the same amount. I think we qualified 10 and 10 the previous year, maybe 9 the previous year, I can't remember. What we did is we put 7 out of those 10 in the finals, I believe. So like that's a guaranteed first or second place at regionals, and your draws in the brackets are just a little bit different when you're like that. You don't have a wrestling match, which is crucial. And then, like I said, you're at a higher seed. And then even some of our number one seeds, like after that fell at state, but like it puts yourself in an overall better position at regionals. And those kids did a good job of getting where they did and won the regional tournament by 2 points. Like that's about as close as it gets. And that's what's cool about that is it's not necessarily like the kids that go to state and score points. It's every single kid. It's all, we took 13 out of 14 to regionals with the injury to Jack. We weren't comfortable filling the lineup with anybody that was in that spot at that time. So we just went with 13. And out of all those kids, every kid scored points at regionals, like Dylan Lazar, Gator, and Dylan Brown were the three kids that didn't qualify, but they all scored points and we won by 2 points. So it was an overall team effort to win the regional title. And then once you get to state, it's just all about who can score points at state. And normally your good kids score at state. And we had every single kid on out of those 10 except for one score points.
Before we get into state, I want to kind of talk about the highs and lows of the weekend. You know, as a parent, being at regionals with your high school kids but having to miss Waylon wrestle, what was that like?
That sucked, definitely. Like he was wrestling at the state tournament for OKWA. And he won state last year, but we knew going in that he won regionals, which was awesome, but I didn't get to watch him wrestle at regionals. We were at dual state. Went state, I think he went 2-2 at state, and it was just, I mean, sucks. Missed all of his matches, and to be like really honest, I haven't even really talked to him about those matches. Just talked to say good job, good season, and then we talked about goals this spring and leading into next year, you know, probably not hang too much on it, which was probably a good thing, but also like, it does suck. I missed his matches, but I was confident. I knew you were there coaching him. And then my wife does a great job just being a good support team. And I think him better than most kids, he understands kind of the big goal with this. Like in a few more years, he'll be up here with me and getting to where he needs to go.
Is there something you do, like advice or something you would give other parents kind of leading in that same situation? Anything you did like prepare Waylon for that?
I mean, nothing like tremendously. Like I'll talk to him the day before, talk to him the morning of, and then really I just depend on my wife and my support team. Like I depended on you a lot. I depended on just people within our youth club. I trusted everybody was in the right place, and it's just kind of part of it too. I tell people a lot of times they got to let go and let me coach their kids. And like I'm in a different position where I want to coach my kid, and I think my kid wants me to coach him, and I coach him every single practice. And but during competition, you just kind of letting go and letting other people, because that dude knows how to wrestle. And I mean, I'm not going to tell him anything magical. It's, right. And you guys do a good job of just letting him do his thing too. Like he's just one of them kids you don't need to sit in the corner and yell at. You just kind of let him wrestle and encourage him. And I'm happy with what we have here. And if it was up to me, probably I probably would have shut down and just been like, all right, come to regionals and stay with me. But my wife did a good job of being like, no, he wants to compete. We're going to take him to compete. We're going to make these sacrifices as a family. And we got through the grind of it. Also, we leaned on our village a lot during that time.
Back to regionals on that. So regionals, you know, we come in first. Familiar team come in second with Chickasha. We met them at dual state. Yeah. And then moving on to state. How did you think the brackets lined up between East and West this year versus last year?
I mean, in the end, like when I looked at the finals and I looked at everything, they stacked up pretty even. Like East was wrestling West and a lot of them, and it worked out pretty well, I feel like. I feel like maybe the West had one more good team in it than the East side, but overall, like I think it stacked up pretty good. And once we got to the draws at state, like honestly the week of, I'd sit down and put it on paper and looked at it, and I thought maybe Chickasha was about a 15-point advantage over us, maybe if things went completely right in their way and wrong our way. And we ended up flipping some matches and won a head-to-head that was big with Hunter. You know, that's pretty much a deciding head-to-head right there, as right. Hunter beating the 113-pounder. I thought we could have easily put five or six in.
Yeah.
You know, we could have had a really good round and put six in. But it is what it is. Like, we put ourselves in. We knew if we got four in the finals, that would be enough to get it done. But then we were depending on our five on the backside, and only two out of those five got in for third and fourth, which were huge, like huge. And both of those two who placed, George and Bryce, they both beat Quita kids in head-to-heads. And those were Quita kids that beat them, you know, 3 weeks previous at the Big Four tournament.
Yeah.
George got beat 10-1 by the kid that he beat in double overtime. And Bryce got pinned by the kid he beat 7-5 in the third and fourth place match, you know, so that's like when I look at the season and I gauge our kids and I gauge, like, are we getting better? Are we peaking at the right time? Like, I thought we did a good job. Like, they peaked at the right time this year. That they wrestled their best matches at state. At least those two kids did in that sense. And a couple of other kids, I felt like, peaked at the right time, you know, or they were right where they needed to be.
So you said the head-to-head with Chickasha, and I don't want to put you on the spot here because I couldn't do it. If you talk about, like, the points, why that head-to-head? Because if we don't beat him, we don't get into the finals, right?
So, yeah, if we don't beat him, we don't get – if you get into the finals, you automatically get 10 points for advancement because they give you second-place points,
right,
plus whatever you get. Two for a decision, 2.5 for a major, 3 for a tech, or it's 4 for a pin, you know. So it's your bonus plus your placement points to get in. So Hunter beating him scored us 12 points right there getting into the semis and took points away from them, you know. That would have took 12 away from us, gave them 12, and we would have been in a different kind of setting there.
I was talking to Coach Hill that day. He was like, he was asking me why the swing in points and like that, and so I texted him, but it took me probably 2 hours to send that text because I kept going back for it, double-checking myself. So earlier you was talking about kids peaking at the right time, you know, and I feel one of our guys that really peaked was George.
Yeah, George came on and more than, like, physically peaked, like, he mentally peaked at the right time. He knew how to win big matches. He knew that he was never out of a match. And also just knew that, like, man, if I can't win it, the next best thing is going back trying to get third. If I can't get third, I'm going to get in there to that placement match. I'm going to win. Every single match is important. Even down to, like, our backside kids, Braxton and Kaysen, like, they just won that one match on the backside. Yeah. But, I mean, they scored points for us, and that's huge. And, like, a lot of people attributed our run. Five guys went on the backside. And out of that quarterfinal round right there, all of them went through to the semifinal, the Constellation right. semifinals, which was huge. And like I said, one of them was a head-to-head with Kawita. And then, it was big time. And like another one that Bryce avenged, too, I don't even talk about, is his first-round match. He won, and he beat a McAllister kid that beat him last year first round, beat him like 12-4 last year, and Bryce beat him like 12-4 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, whooped him. And just a completely different swing. Like, you look at matches like that, that's – I mean, Bryce is 20 points better than last year if you look at that, like, statistically.
So, if you want to talk about our placers?
Yeah, out of all of our placers, starting with the boys first, George Tatanipa finishing fourth at 175. Bryce Martin finishing third at 120, third 2 years in a row, and he's a sophomore. Like, I mean, that's a great feat right there. And then our runners-up, Colin Donnelly at 190, had a great season, great tournament, just came up a little short in the finals. Another runner-up was Hunter Jackson, you know, 2 years in a row, runner-up, third place his freshman year. Now he's a three-time state placer, two-time finalist going into his senior year. Just, I mean, he wrestled the outstanding wrestler. The kid got outstanding wrestler. He beat Hunter in overtime. Just one of those situations where, I mean, sucks. Like, everybody wants Hunter to win. But also, like, at the end of it, too, it felt different than last year. Like, we felt like we threw everything at that kid, and we just couldn't get it done. You know, we didn't leave anything on the table, like maybe the year before previously when he lost in double overtime. So like it was good, and then we had our champs, Ritson winning it for his second consecutive year as a sophomore, and keeping his path alive, you know, to win four, like the best accomplishment you could pretty much win in high school wrestling. And then Jace Williams coming through and being heavyweight state champion, and just having a tremendous season. Like, all of them did a great job, and every one of them had individual stories that contribute to the state title, like all the way down to the kids that didn't place and the kids that didn't qualify contribute, you know. And then our girls, we had two placers, Abby Angeli getting into the state finals and getting second place as a wrestle-in. Thought she did a tremendous job, knocked off the one seed. And then 70 Velos, I mean, finishing as a runner-up. Four-time state placer, third her freshman year, won it her sophomore year, won it her junior year, and then just finishing runner-up this year to a girl that won her third state championship. So,
yeah,
I mean, it was all in all a fantastic season. And I know, like, Symphony and Hunter and Colin, who came up short, and Abby, like, that's devastating to lose in the state finals, but also, like, man, you're losing at the highest level, which is no consolation prize, but we're doing something right. You know, we're heading in the right direction. And the awesome thing about all 10 of those kids that qualified, you know, nine of them are coming back, and yeah, every kid that scored points at the state tournament's coming back. So,
well, brother, have you had a chance to listen to the podcast we've done so far?
No, I didn't even know you guys were doing
it. All right, cool. If you would, just kind of introduce yourself, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, is that all we're talking
about? Yeah,
John. My name is Jacob Butler, from everywhere, but I came out to Elgin here sophomore year of high school. I wrestled for OU, University of Oklahoma, for 5 years, and went ahead and transferred out for my senior year out at Rutgers University. Got my undergrad in marketing and management out at Oklahoma, and then I'm getting a digital marketing degree.
So as far as it comes to being an athlete, your path to being a wrestler, can you talk about any athletes in your family and kind of how you got into wrestling?
Yeah, so my dad and my stepdad were both wrestlers. My stepdad was a two-time state champion in Kansas, and my dad was a state placer in Virginia, and they both went and wrestled D2. And they both wrestled just 1 year in D2. They didn't do anything in college or anything, but both were big-time wrestlers, big-time athletes in general across the board. They played football, baseball, both of them. So I got into it when I was 6 years old. They just kind of put me into it, and I ran with it.
As far as Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you take second in Colorado. Can you talk a little bit maybe about Colorado State Tournament?
Yeah, the Colorado State Tournament, it's the brackets are a little bit bigger out there. I want to say it's might be a 32-man bracket in Colorado. Got second at regionals to Chris Sandoval, and it was the same guy that I was going to have to – I know I was going to have to beat in the state tournament. That's how I matched up with in the finals, and he beat me. But, they split it up for 3 days there. So it's just the finals on the third day.
Yeah, that's what they did this year. It was 3 days at the Oklahoma State tournament.
Oh, dang.
Wrestled one match a day if you were like on the path. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's three weigh-ins?
Three weigh-ins, two sessions, like 3A, 4A in the morning, 5A, 6A in the afternoon. So we wrestled afternoon on Thursday, afternoon on Friday, and then Saturday all day for like placers in the morning and then finals at night. It was a long tournament, dude.
See, that's the thing. I feel like they're just dragging it out. It's like, what, they're trying to make a couple extra bucks because you got to pay for every session.
Just the addition of girls wrestling into the state tournament. And they split that into two classes this year. So that adds more mats. That adds, I mean, I think numbers, they said we're up by like 400 girls or something too.
Wow.
So like, just, I mean, and that wouldn't severely matter in the state tournament, but just the split of two classes was different. So like the 5A and 6A is how they split it with the girls. 5A wrestled with the lower classes. 6A was our girls, fortunately, and they wrestled with us. So.
Okay. Wait, so you guys are 5A for everything, but then they bump the girls up to 6A?
Girls are 6A. Just because 6A, they just do two classes, 5A and 6, like a small and a large.
I got you. That makes sense.
And eventually, like, once the numbers grow, they'll probably get into a four-class format like we do right now, but it's just not there yet.
Yeah. Where's Elgin in terms of, like, big school, small school for 5A? Are you guys, like, smaller side?
I'm in the lower end, right?
Not, like, tremendously. Like, if you looked at probably the 50% split, I would say, like, we're just a little bit below that. Like, at first, we kind of hovered around that, but we're starting to kind of get into, like, there's 10 other schools out there.
Like, well, and then you guys got, like, Altus, MacArthur.
Duncan. Yeah, and then just, like, Midwest City and Dell City kind of flip a lot between 5A and 6A. You look at that, though, and you look at a school like Elgin Wrestling, and then we played Midwest City in football. Like, that's a huge school compared to our enrollment's like 850. I would bet theirs is 1,200, you know, which is what it is.
But yeah. How'd football do this year?
We lost in the second round of the playoffs by a point to Claremore. They were good.
Yeah.
I think we should have won that game by far. We kind of faltered there, but then Dell City and the semis beat Claremore, and then Carl Auber beat them. So, like, we're right there. We'll be a little bit better next year.
So, going back to the state tournament, Colorado, can you just finish up on that real quick?
Yeah, so honestly, it feels ancient. It was like 10 years ago.
Old.
I don't even remember my first round match. I want to say I attacked the kid in the first round. Second round, I had Manzanares, who I majored at regionals, and I majored him again at state. And then the third round, I can't remember the kid's name, but I had another tough kid. We ended up with a really good seed. That was the one thing, was we wanted to be on the opposite side of Sandoval. So it actually worked out for me getting a really good path. And it was interesting, too, because I didn't transfer out to Colorado until January of my freshman year. I got custody switched. So I was in North Carolina my first half of freshman year, and I was up at 132. And when I transferred, I was up at 132, but I was walking around 126. But we had a two-time state champ at 126 that I couldn't beat at the time in North Carolina. So when I transferred to Colorado, we're having a hard time getting me cleared because of the transfer rules, and it was the middle of the season. So I had eventually gotten cleared, and I wanted to actually go down to 120 because I'd only weighed 126, but because I'd already wrestled 32 in North Carolina, they said that I could only go down to 26. And so they cleared me about 2 weeks after I'd gotten into town, and I remember I was sitting there at this big tournament watching the guys wrestle. And it was about an hour after weigh-ins for that tournament. It was a two-hour weigh-in. And what is that tournament called? Metro. The Metros. And an hour after weigh-ins, my coach gets a call. He's like, hey, like, Jacob's cleared to wrestle by whatever the organization is, COAA or whatever. And he calls me. He tells me, asks me if I have my wrestling shoes, goes and talks to the guys at the tournament. He's like, hey, like, can we get him weighed in right now? Like, he'll weigh in at 26, but wrestled 32, and they're like, yeah, we can get him weighed in late, and so they weighed me in, and I was the last seed, and I wrestled the one seed that was like the state champ for the next division up. Actually, I went out, I remember warming up for my first match, I was the one seed, the ref came up to me, he's like, you know you're wrestling, right? I was like, no, because I didn't know anybody, I just moved out there. He's like, oh, okay, and I thought I was going to get my butt kicked, and I went out and I teched him. And the ref raised my hand, and I got like a standing ovation, and like the ref was like, you know, you just shocked a lot of people, and I was like, that's cool. And I went on and won the tournament, got OW and everything, and that was like one of three tournaments I think I wrestled before state. Yeah, the state tournament was just a fun run. I was the only one that qualified for my school, and so it was actually a really cool experience because I guess they had a pretty decent budget for if a handful of kids qualified, but since I was the only one to qualify, they really babied me and hooked me up in like a nice little hotel suite and made me some custom socks. I would say like Cody Rowell never really did that for me, but
you know. We keep it real.
Yeah, no, but it was a really good time. It's good. Yeah, good run.
So you got made it to the finals match, didn't work out. Can you talk about that match a little bit?
Yeah. Oh man, let me think. So Chris Sandoval, he's this kid. He went up and wrestled for Northern Colorado, but he's probably 5'2". I was the height I am right now. And I remember like back in that time frame, as a young kid, I just had a terrible time with kids that were like a lot shorter than me. He was real stocky, real strong. I was a little string bean, still am a little string bean. But
remember that when we get on the mat later.
Yeah. But honestly, it kind of lit me up. It was like, I want to say, I think I held it off to like a 0-0. I wanted to keep it a close match because I remember in the regional tournament while I was wrestling, I had a really difficult time trying to spar him in general. So the game plan was keep it a close match and see if I can sting him. I think I got out of the first period 0-0. He chose bottom, got an escape, and took me down right out of the escape. And I was down 3-0, rode me out. Third period, I chose bottom, got an escape. He took me down again. Then I lost 5-1. Yeah, I mean, that was it. And it was definitely a heartbreaker for me because, I just remember getting back to the hotel room and knowing, like, man, like, no matter what I do, no matter how good I do from the rest of high school, I'm never going to be a four-timer. That really, like, kind of got me worked up a little bit. And that was definitely one of the hardest losses I think I've taken in my career. Just, like, I just know that like that was like kind of a big dream of mine growing up, like in elementary and middle school. It's like, you know, I want to be on the way to every single state title and go to a big school and, you know, go D1 and everything. So it definitely ate me up a little bit. So I think I actually remember watching Hunter Jackson wrestle last year, and I kind of got a little choked up. I was sitting down mat side. I was running the scoreboard for one of the other mats next to it. And watched him lose a heartbreaker. It really got to me a little bit because I just knew like I understood how he was feeling, you know, and being, you know, the stud that he is and losing a close match. And like, I'm sure, you know, same thing went back and I could tell he was upset and knowing, you know, we're not going to be able to win all four of those titles. But the grand scheme of things, the winning isn't what matters. You know, it's the experience that we're getting out there every single match, you know, and just having a good time is like what's important. But,
yeah, he lost another heartbreaker this year.
I saw that. And, you know, it's tough for him because I know how good that kid is. He's right there. But, you know, it is what it is. It happens.
Yeah, and, like, that's what me and Bean were talking about before you got in here, too. Like, the one with the year before when he lost, like, we felt like we maybe still had something, like, left in us. Like, we left some stuff on the table. This last one, like, the kid that beat us in overtime, and, man, we threw everything we had at him. We're pressuring him, just couldn't get it done. Kid's a better athlete right there at the end and took us down in overtime. But, like, with that one, at least, like, man, we threw everything we had. Mm-hmm. And Hunter is still devastated, of course. But, like you said, too, like, I try to get him just like, man, we're just trying to get better. The grand scheme of things is not these state titles. It's, like, how good can you get and how – long can you stay competing? How long can you keep your fire burning for the sport, you know? And then, as you know, like, once you get into college, if your fire is not, like, burning for it anymore, like, it's hard to do, man, because it's a lot of people's business now. Like, it's not just, like, their passion and dedication. It's their business. It's their livelihood. It's how they support themselves.
Yep, absolutely. And with the young kids like that, the big thing is, you know, like you said, like, not being too worried about the state championships because, you know, it's if you're not having a good time at the end of it, when you get to college, it's gonna show. It's gonna show, and you know, I've seen guys that are four timers in college fizzle out in the first semester.
Yeah.
And I've seen guys that are no timers go ahead and all American. Like, you know, it's about how much passion you have for the sport at the end of the day.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Like, I had kids that were four-timers at UCO that sat on the bench, like, never started, never did anything. And it's not, like, saying anything against them. It's just, man, like, you've got to have that urge to continue to get better and to continue to compete, not only with everybody around you, but with yourself. Yeah. And that's hard.
So you transitioned from Colorado to Oklahoma. Obviously, it wasn't your first time to come to a new state and you know, kind of start from scratch in a new state, but what was that like?
Yeah, I remember when, I think I want to say it was April of 2016 when I found out, and I don't know, 2015, I remember John was getting stationed somewhere, and we heard it was either going to be Hawaii or Oklahoma. And so I'm like, oh, man, we're going to get to go to Hawaii. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I found out we were coming out here to Fort Sill, and I was like, what is in Oklahoma? I'd never heard a single thing about Oklahoma besides OKC Thunder. So I was a little upset. I was a little upset coming out here. I'm not going to lie. But obviously, when I got out here, you know, I realized, like, the beauty in the state and, like, what it has to offer. You know, and the small town, you know, being in a small town was actually really nice. I really enjoyed being out here in Elgin. You know, got out here in summer, called up Coach Osborne, so I told him, hey, like, I'm going to be out here. Does anybody want to train during the summer? I think it was about in July timeframe after Fargo had happened. And I got Reese Maitland to come out here, and who's a two-time state placer, three-time maybe. He got third twice. And then Jake Castleberry came out as well, who was a state runner-up at the time. And he had just graduated, so I was never on the team with him, but he came out and worked out with me. Also, Hunter Leonard, who was also a state placer, maybe state qualifier. But, yeah, so those are the first guys that I met out here in Elgin. And we scrapped for a day, and then I met Coach Oz, and the rest is kind of history. You know, kind of got after it once school started, and... Yeah, I rolled into it. I think what was the first tournament was probably the pre-Turkey in Edmond. People weren't really paying attention to me at all. Like, I wasn't really anybody until I wrestled Montori Bridges at the UConn. I mean, not the UConn, at the Elgin home duel against Altus. And he was a two-time state champ at the time from Altus. And, like, nationally ranked, and I beat him. And that's when kind of everybody started talking to me about wrestling and everything. And when I first got here, I didn't know anybody, obviously, so the school part was a little awkward for this first month or two until my buddy Alton Johnson, at the time, he came up to me. I was sitting over at the lunch table by, I don't even remember who I was sitting by, but not really talking to anybody. And Alton had came up to me and was like, hey, man, like, you didn't tell me you're a wrestler. And he, like, showed me my Instagram. And he was like, dude, like, if you want to come over and sit with us, like, you know, I got you. And so I went over and sat with him and got real tight with him and Jacob Strange and John Brown and all those guys. And, you know, we're still pretty close to this day. So I appreciate that for kind of putting me on with those friendships.
Yeah, 100%. I know it's, you know, tough coming to a new place at any point in time in life, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there any big differences you noticed between wrestling from Colorado versus Oklahoma?
That's a good question. I think that there's more depth here as far as wrestling goes. You're going to wrestle somebody good no matter what state bracket you're in. Colorado, even though I had a tough state bracket, there was a lot of state brackets that weren't that deep. And it also, like, coming up to Oklahoma made me a lot better, a lot quicker.
It's hit and miss, kind of what you're saying. Like, mm-hmm. You went and wrestled that kid that was a state champion from the division up, and you check-falled him.
Yeah.
You know? So some of the state champions would be average caliber kids out here.
Yeah.
But some of the state champions are really freaking good.
Yeah.
They'll come out here and stroke kids.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But it's hit and miss, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I can definitely understand that.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more depth out here. Every single weight class, for the most part, you're going to have at least one solid kid. So that was a pretty good transition. Let me think, wrestling-wise. Actually, I think one thing that Colorado does really well is they're like Greco. They have like some pretty solid Greco kids. They had a program out there called the Sons of Thunder at the time when I was out there. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but they had a lot of good Greco kids come out of there. Moshe Schwartz, Malik Heinzelman, and them. And so when I went and trained up there with them for a couple weeks, that's where I really caught my upper body stuff going.
Is that like a regional training center or just a club team?
It's like a club, but they actually have a school club. So they get to, it's a private school. I can't remember what the school's called, but it's like a private school, and Sons of Thunder is like through the school.
I got
it. Yeah. That kid's name, he wore the, so he's hitting Super Ducks in at Fargo, his black kid.
Kamal Bay?
He's raw. No, Theo Rice Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember him. But yeah, he was out there too. But I think that helped a lot coming out to Oklahoma, because I think a lot of kids kind of get scared when you go upper body. Not to say Oklahoma doesn't have a bunch of upper body beasts, just that was an edge that I felt like I had coming out here, was being comfortable in the overhooks. But yeah. Besides that, honestly, both states are pretty tough. The biggest difference coming from North Carolina, which is where I grew up, out to this way, Oklahoma and Colorado. That's that, like, it's night and day difference. There's like nobody out there that really competes. So like, there's just a couple of kids, but Oklahoma's no joke.
That's kind of like Coach Tucker, you know, that was in here. Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Talk to him. Mm-hmm. He was the same way. I think he won it twice out in North Carolina, but he said the same thing. He's like, man, there's some good kids out there, but like they all go to the same school, they're all together, and like just the competition is not as spread out.
Yeah, exactly. It's North Carolina is very much like, if you're good in middle school, that high school's gonna call you up. Either it's, you know, maybe
that's exactly
Britt,
what he said.
Carrie,
too. Yeah.
And you're gonna end up out there. And so unless you're at that school, you know there's gonna be a few kids, but for the most part,
arrest you and throw you in jail if you called some kids in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, come wrestle over here in Elgin. You're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd be like, who? This Coach Rowell. All right.
Yeah.
Front page of the Oklahoma.
Yep.
Which, oh yeah, we don't need the Wild West of people out there like recruiting kids with like money and stuff like that. But I don't know. I've coached a lot of kids that go to other teams right now too.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
That is interesting. There's a little bit of moving around out here. But
yeah, and like they just had a new law that changes here in July where it's open transfer.
Yeah, it's easier to move around.
It's a lot easier, but not really in a school like Elgin because like we don't accept transfers just because we're at capacity. So you need to move into Elgin to get accepted into the school.
Mm.
So that's kind of that's a good and bad thing. Like, we don't want to let everybody in, I don't feel like, just because we have a great school system. We don't need people in here to leech off of us, but also we need to give opportunity to people as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's just like, that's a growing school system problem.
Yeah.
Before we get into your state championships here in Elgin, I want to talk a little bit about freestyle and Greco, since you brought it up a while ago. Greco, anyway, we talked about this a lot. I think there's benefits for kids doing freestyle and Greco. I think it benefits their folk style wrestling. Is there anything that freestyle and Greco helped you out with folk style?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's one of the most important things for kids to understand is like if they come out here during the summer, that's when 90% of the other kids around the state are not wrestling. And that's the opportunity for them to get that edge. And the different feel that freestyle and Greco offers is gonna allow your it's allow you to learn your hips a little bit better. You're learning how to float throws so you don't get tossed on your head. You're learning to get comfortable in an underhook, comfortable in an overhook, comfortable in a two-on-one situation. And when you have that, when you add that piece to wrestling that a lot of kids don't have, it makes a lot of kids uncomfortable. And it allows you to open your offense up because, you know, a lot of the times my throws come from I shoot a single leg and I miss it, and then I build up into an underhook. And now from there, now I can transition to something else out of an underhook. A lot of kids, if you're not wrestling freestyle Greco and you get into that underhook overhook situation, they're just going to pull out of it. They're going to get away from it as much as they can. So coming in here for the offseason, I think is one of the most important things that a kid can do.
That's what, like, with Hunter Jackson, because I kind of see it in two ways, too. Hunter Jackson had this kid from Chickasha, wrestled him regional semis and state semis, pretty much won a state title, like beating this kid. But he's a solid wrestler, can't out wrestle him.
Yeah.
But Hunter, if he'd go out there and go double overs and get him to the position he was uncomfortable, folded him in the end, you know, just made him uncomfortable, got him in positions he wasn't used to, didn't have to out wrestle him, just, you know, picked up on stuff in here, was comfortable going there, your other stuff's not working. Reach back into this bag of tools instead of not having that bag of tools, you know?
Yeah.
And like, kids learn all that, but also, like, you don't have to go compete in all these freestyle tournaments and stuff. It helps. It's great if you can, but just being in the room, just being in the room is tremendous. And like you said, if someone's pushing you around with the underhook in the practice room for 30 minutes, it's 30 minutes that, you know, next wrestling season you got underneath your belt.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one big thing, too, in the off season, there's zero pressure, and being able to wrestle with zero pressure is a whole different ball game. You know, when you get to go out there at a tournament in freestyle, and you're like, just gonna go out there and let it fly because it literally doesn't matter. You're not losing anything. Like, it doesn't count towards your record in the regular season. There's nothing. And then you'll notice like a lot of kids hitting things they would never hit in folk style in the folk style season. So then you get more comfortable with yourself, trusting that if you just let it fly, that good things are going to happen. You just keep being offensive, good things are going to happen. So
that's normally when you see like a kid beat a kid that's like way better level than him. Like you'll see a kid go out there and beat him in freestyle and you're like, holy crap, I've never seen that kid beat anybody good before, but that kid let it fly out there. And yeah, it's just, and then once you beat that one good kid, it's like a snowball effect. And if you can carry that over into your folk style season, you got a lot out of that freestyle season.
Absolutely. Freestyle is a time to learn to let it fly. Absolutely.
Top matches you've had in high school, right? Would you say that your top match you had was your state championship finals?
Like my toughest matches?
Yeah.
My senior, I would say just the senior year. Senior year was definitely one of my, like, probably the toughest match of my senior, my high school career. Sophomore, junior year wasn't actually that tough. I wrestled Wes Arberg my sophomore year from Cushing, who's a pretty solid wrestler. But I think I just had a really good matchup with him, and I was able to kind of run the score up a little bit early on. I think I won 8-1 or something. It was definitely like really like a lot of nerves. Like, had I wrestled him at a different tournament, I might have blown it up a lot more. But I actually do personally think I got pretty stiff as I was in my high school state finals matches. It's junior year, I wrestled a kid that I had teched at regionals the week before, so I was pretty confident with that as well. I wasn't too nervous. Senior year, I wrestled Luke Server. Yeah.
But you had some adversity your junior year, right?
Junior year?
Because that's when Billy Simpson beat you at regionals.
Yeah.
Like you beat the kid from Tuttle in the semis, you teched him, and then you got beat in the finals by Billy Simpson.
Yeah. So Billy Simpson from, where's he at, Cushing?
Yep.
No, yeah, Cushing. That was my first loss of my junior year, my only loss of my junior year. And yeah, he lit me up at regionals. I just got me on a cross wrist when I was on bottom, turned, put me to my back. I couldn't score on him. And so, when I lost that, and I think it kind of, it was a good reality check for me, definitely. Just like, be like, man, I need to not be complacent, and I need to lock in every single match. I can't be out here taking a nap. I took a nap like right before that match and wrestled like 15, 20 minutes after getting up. And it's like, I can't do that. I got to be, treating every match like it's a real match. And so I think maybe I got a little too confident that year. So reality checked me a little bit. And then we had another week to kind of get our mind right. So I got my mind right that week, and I was really looking forward to wrestling Billy in the state finals, where I thought was going to happen. But he ended up taking a loss to, was it to Brady?
Yeah.
So it was to Brady DeArmond in the semis. It was definitely a disappointing thing, I think, in a way. Just like, man, I'm not going to be able to get that match back this year, like, to get that win back over the guy that beat me at regionals. Everything happens the way it's going to happen. And I was never able to get, like, that match back in general. I think, what's his name? He got hurt that next year.
He got hurt the next year over Christmas break.
Yeah, he broke his neck, and they thought he was going to be paralyzed.
Never wrestled again. No. He's refereeing now.
Is he?
Yeah, he referees here in Oklahoma. That's a good job.
Yeah. And he had a scholarship to Campbell when it happened. I'm not really sure what ended up panning out with it, but he's a good wrestler though. I think we're on a junior dual team together. He's really good. So that was junior year. Then senior year, I wrestled Luke Serber at regionals, and the whole deal with that, I think we weren't sure if we were going to go the same weight all year. I was at 38 all year. Was he at 38 all year? Was he at 32 and went up to 38?
Man, he was at 38. Yeah. But we thought he was going to drop, and he had a chance to drop and just didn't do it.
Everybody was talking about that matchup all year, and came regionals, saw him at regionals, scrapped in the same thing, overtime match, took him down in overtime to win it at regionals. But, it's like you win it at regionals, but, you got to run it back next week, and it was close, it's I think at regionals we didn't go down.
Yeah.
We didn't go down at regionals. We didn't choose bottom because we knew he was really good on top. But I had gotten smoked on a takedown in the first period. I got in a position where I thought I got in a takedown at backs, and it got called off. So it was 0-0 all the way down to the third period. So overtime, took him out overtime, 1-2-0. you know, that week, me and Coach Rao talked about it. I'm like, hey, like, we didn't even get up out of bottom on this guy.
We decided to, you know, practice bottom for the week, get ready for the legs, get ready to kind of get out in the state finals so we could go bottom and win a 1-0 match if we need to. So that was the plan. Got out there, state finals, and 0-0 first period. Second period, we chose bottom, and he wrote us out for the entire period. And third period, he chose bottom, got out in like 10, 15 seconds. And so I'm down 1-0, and I'm like, all right, I got to get one on this kid. Like, this has to happen now. I got 2 minutes to do something. I went after him for two minutes, and I think about a minute 30 in, maybe minute 15, I got in on a shot. We got in a scramble. I ended up behind him in neutral. I was pulling him down. We were on the edge of the mat, and I was pulling him in, and he got off the mat and got hit with a flea in the mat call. You know, and there's a big argument with Coach Serber and the ref, and we sat and waited for a minute to see if they were going to hold up the call. They kept the call, flea in the mat, 1 point me. So it's 1-1. And 30 seconds go by, going to OT. He took a shot about 30 seconds in overtime. I sprawled, re-attack on the single leg, trip, single, finish, won the match. And that was it.
Good. It was awesome. Like, 2-week rivalry right there.
Yeah.
Like, definitely like one of the most anticipated matches of the state tournament.
So that wasn't the last time y'all wrestled that year, though, right?
No, I actually wrestled at freestyle. I wrestled at freestyle and Greco.
Yeah, Cushing.
Yep,
wasn't it?
Yep. I wrestled at freestyle state.
Dude, it was like 20-20 or something.
That's
too
crazy.
It was a bazillion points.
He,
I remember that.
He was up on me.
He had all the laces on him or something.
With probably 30 seconds left, and he had a single leg up, and I did a cutback and on the edge of the mat, and I got him for 4. And then we went back to the middle, 15 seconds left, and right off the whistle, shot a blast double. Tied it up and then got it on for the win. I think it ended up being like 20-18. And then Greco scooted by with, I think it was a close match. I don't remember. Maybe like 6-4 or something, if I had to guess. Yeah, no.
4-0 lifetime.
Yep, 4-0. 4-0, and he's too big for me now, so we're never running it back.
Yeah.
he wrestles 97 in heavyweight up there at LSU now, so. But he's a good guy, though. I like him. I like him and Coach Serber a lot, actually. Coach Serber is a good guy.
Yeah, and like, even though, I mean, it might not have been the best, it probably is the best call, though. Like, they stayed up and wrestled the competition, and it worked out good for Luke. Like, he went on winning 3 times and then starts at OSU now. Like,
yeah, exactly. It
didn't, like, set his career path any differently, you know. They just were using all that as, like, I think that's, like I said, it's a good mindset to take. We're just preparing for bigger things here.
Absolutely. And that's like back on the point of the state champion, the number of state championships you win doesn't matter at the end of the day. Like, he won it his freshman year. We wrestled his sophomore year and he lost it. That, I guarantee you, that didn't make, you know, him being a 3-timer versus a 4-timer didn't take away any scholarship opportunities that he had his senior year.
No, just because everybody knew, like, you're a good wrestler, you're a good wrestler.
Yep, exactly.
This is a question I've asked Coach Rao before in the past, but what's some of the big difference you've noticed in coaching at the different levels? It can be from like little league to middle school to high school, you know, then to D1. What's the different styles?
I think it really depends on where you go. I would say that as you move up, the technical side of things just gets a little sharper and sharper in terms of like what they're telling you need to do. So, you know, in Little League, your coaches are teaching you how to single leg. And then in high school, they're teaching you, like, how you need to try to finish a single leg. But then, like, you get to college, and it's like, your ear needs to be here, your shoulder needs to be here, your elbow needs to be here, and you need to be hitting it exactly like that every single time. I think intensity-wise, that's just personal differences. Different places are going to have different intense coaches. I've seen Little League coaches freak out on their kids, and I've seen college coaches freak out on their kids, you know. I don't think the level changes too much any right there.
No, like, because when you're coaching youth, junior high, and high school, you're having to motivate and coach at the same time and, like, get different aspects than just the wrestling. But once you're into college, you don't, like, the motivation doesn't necessarily have to be there as a coach. Like, if you're in college wrestling, you're not there because you are just there. Like, yeah. It's not fun to go to practice every single day unless you have a goal and, like, a motivation and stuff. Yeah. So, like, as a coach there, your job's a little bit different. That's, you know, a good point. You're teaching them, like you said, the finer things in wrestling, the little points, just because every kid there probably knows the same variation you do, but here's this scenario and how it works here.
That's a good point. With the Little League, you gotta keep it fun. You gotta keep the kids having a good time, I think, because, I mean, at the end of the day, wrestling should be fun. You should be having a good time doing it. Like, obviously, it's teaching you a lot of other life skills too, but keeping it fun for the kids is a lot more important in the younger ages than it is in college. You know, in college, it turns into a little bit of a job, I'd say.
Yeah, especially in today's climate, you know, people making money in college and stuff. And, you're right. Like, Little League, you got to get them hooked with the fun and everything. Middle school, kind of the same thing. Just depends on, like, where your program is. Like, our program's not to the point where I'm talking every seventh grader into wrestling anymore because I need them. Mm. Like, we have kids coming through that have been wrestling. So, like, that's where it's at. We can keep them hooked there. And then in high school, you start, like, pushing them towards their goals and motivations and, like, all right, are you going to continue doing this, or am I just giving you a service until you're a senior, you know, or are you just in here because you need to be in here? And then college, like, you're here, bro.
Yeah.
And then, like, at your top level colleges, like your Penn States and stuff, they've been able to take it back to, all right, let's have some fun with all this and keep it relaxed and have that type of environment, because that's, like, the environment he's created in that room.
Yeah, exactly.
But the environment's not created through that all the time. Like, I guarantee you, Kel's in there busting their nuts like certain things, and, like, not stuff that happens in wrestling rooms that have to happen, you know. And then once you've achieved that, then you can get back to the.
Yeah, exactly. And with Penn State, you know, when you get a group of guys that are top level skill, they're already up there. Like, they get to kind of peel it back and flow with each other.
Because you'll kill each other.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where some of our kids were this year, like the week of state, the week of regionals and all that. Like, we were focused in wrestling, but we played a lot of basketball in here.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to do something different, trying to stay active, stay with your teammates. But even that basketball, like, kids are trying to punch each other in here. We're like, come on, guys, like, calm down.
Yeah.
But that's good. Like, that's when you get a lot of high-level athletes in there doing that. At least it's not a bunch of shitheads that are in there just causing problems.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a lot of themes that stick through every single level, though. Because, like, you know, with little kids, you got to teach them that they can go further than they think they can, you know. And that never goes away. It's just they learn that they can go harder. But then, you know, you get up the middle of high school, you've got to keep doing that. You've got to show them that they can go further than they think they can. And that goes all the way through college. Just keep kids encouraged to realize that they can go past their boundaries of what they think they're capable of doing. Whatever you think your limits are, there's a good chance you got a lot more in you to offer. And that's true all the way from K, senior year in college type of thing, you know.
Yeah, and as a coach, if you can get them kids to self-motivate themselves to get better every single day, like, better than themselves, you know, that's when, like, things start clicking and kids start winning that internal battle of, like, all right, there's no other way around this. I got to be in a room every day. I've got to be doing this. I've got to – and it don't have to be two hours in the room every day, like 20, 30 minutes coming in here, or just – doing what we're doing tonight. Like, that's what I told a lot of kids, like, in my off season today. I was like, I'm looking at a bunch of non-starters right here. You should probably be here tonight, because I know the kids that are starters that can be here will be here.
Yeah.
Like, because they were in here the next week after state, like on Wednesday they're in here rolling. Bryce and Braxton and Jace has been in here. That's a good place to be at.
Absolutely.
OU and Rutgers, was there any difference in coaching style you noticed from them?
Yeah, definitely. I think that at Rutgers, they're more about keeping you in a good attitude the whole time. You know, I think it's a lot of, like, they kind of appeal to the mental game a lot more, where it's like, hey, like, let's have a good time every time, and all through practice, encourage you to, like, have a good time and let it fly. OU, I think, was a little bit more just like specific, just like structured, you know, we're in and out of there in 70 minutes every day, and this is what we're going to do, boom, 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 and just all, it's all technical,
That's how long they would go into practice?
Yeah, about 70 minutes, yeah.
Dude, that's like, we go an hour and 15, hour and 20, like probably at our most in here sometimes. Yeah, like there's not a lot you can do for a lot of hours unless you're doing a clinic or you're teaching constantly.
I think that's like a good 60 minutes to 90 minutes. Anything outside of that, probably doing a little too much. You know, everybody's exhausted and they're probably not going to retain as much at that point. But that's one thing that I think there's a lot of big misconception about that is I think a lot of people think college practice gets a lot longer and harder. It's high intensity, but it's a short period of time usually, which is good. And that's how it has been, Rutgers and OU. Coaching staff differences besides that. I feel like the guys at Rutgers are almost like more of my friends in a way. They're more I'll dap them up when I come in kind of thing. We're just like more like my coaches like at OU, which is not saying like either one's better than the other, just thinking about like the differences and everything. Both coaching staffs are solid coaching staffs. So obviously OU had a big coaching change this last year, so all the guys that are there now aren't the same guys besides
two. Are the majority of kids at Rutgers from another place, though?
No, almost all of them are Jersey. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them except for, say, me, Mitch, Turley, Luke Gehr. There might be five of us from out of state.
Wow.
The rest of them are Jersey kids. So, yeah, very homegrown Rutgers is. Where OU, it's probably about half and half. I'd say half kids are from states like PA, Ohio, California, and then you got about half kids in there from Oklahoma.
What would be some advice for parents trying to get their kids into wrestling?
That's a good question. Some advice for parents to get their kids into wrestling, bring them into the local Little League and just encourage them to have fun with it. And, don't put any pressure on them. Don't put any pressure on them, especially in the first couple of years. Like, just let them have a good time. Let them get used to it. And, personally, I think I liked wrestling a lot because my older brother and my dad played with me at home a lot, as far as grappling. It wasn't even necessarily like wrestling, but it was we were grabbing each other and throwing each other down, and they'd roll around with me. So getting into like a sport where I can actually do that, I think it transitioned and I was like really excited to do it. Keep them wrestling. Just don't put pressure on them. I think that was my least favorite part, like getting through like middle school and everything, was just feeling like pressure from my parents and stuff. They don't need to get good for years. Like if you start your kids young, you don't have to worry about whether they're winning or losing for a long time. Like, because a lot of kids don't blossom until later on in middle school or even in high school. So just, let them have a good time and, maybe see if their friends want to do it, because I feel like doing things with friends is like a good idea.
That helps a lot.
Yeah, having linking up with your buddy and you guys both get to come to practice. That was a big thing for me. Was I grew up with this kid, Mikey Vernigallo, and we were together all the time, and we'd go to practice together. He was my practice partner, and it just made it a lot more enjoyable to get through. So maybe bring it in with a buddy, getting two kids to come, and not being against, bringing your daughter in, for sure. I think a lot of people kind of get worried about like their daughters wrestling and stuff, but I think it's an awesome thing. So just like bringing in anybody, all kids, all different. That's one thing that's like good about wrestling is you don't have to be tall, you don't have to be strong, you don't have to be a boy, you don't have to be anything. You can be come in all shapes and sizes.
You don't have to be a competent mind a lot either.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to be honest with you, like, I don't know, and that's just, you don't have to be, because like if you can teach people their body and basic instincts and stuff like that, like I've seen kids do amazing things that, I mean, can't do simple things, and like talking about life tasks and things like that. So like that's a cool part of it. And I don't know, just like when you're getting the youngsters in there too, like I always advise just being careful, like throwing them into, I think here, like I've tried to really do a good job of like if you're 3, 4, and 5 years old, Like, you're not in there getting your head ripped off. Like, you're having fun. You're doing things that, I don't know, are inviting to you in wrestling. And, like, if your kid's not quite catching on in that environment, all right, maybe give it a year, try again. And, like, I don't know. A lot of people just throw them, like, into that novice or open practice when they're five and, like, all right, get it, boy.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not some kid's thing when they've grown up differently.
Yeah,
like, my kids would be fine. They've grown up ripping each other's heads off, like, since they were two. Like, hit baseball bat in the nose last weekend. But like, some kids are grown up on those iPads, or they've grown up just differently, and it can be shell-shocking if you run into here and there's 50 other little kids running around and they're pushing each other down and doing what boys do. Like, hell, I don't know. We should just let them come in here and destroy each other sometimes.
That's honestly a big thing, is, like, not even just necessarily wrestling, but just getting the kid on a mat, like, getting them, it could be gymnastics, like, you know, allowing a kid that's 3 to 5 years old to be able to come in and do a million somersaults. They're learning how to move their body.
Isn't it crazy how many high school kids can't do a somersault?
Yeah, exactly, because, like, they just haven't ever really been on the mat. They don't have the opportunity to just be ripping out somersaults. So when kids are 3 to 5, they're still learning how to use their hands, learn how to use their feet and their knees. And so that's what wrestling gives, a perfect opportunity to just be able to move and, you know, free flow. And, you know, when you start learning how to move your body, that's what wrestling's all about. So then now, you know, once they really start learning the technical side of it all, they've got this natural ability because they've been on the mat for 3 to 5, you know.
That's what I tell people. I was like, it's not going to hurt you in any other sport. Like, it's not going to do anything but help you. Like, the only other sport it's going to hurt you in is basketball, because you can't play it. Like, it's nothing but going to help you developmental wise.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as advice goes, you know, me, I got a son that is a seventh grader now. He wrestles, been wrestling since he was, you know, pretty young. What would be some advice you would give a middle school wrestler?
Advice to a middle school wrestler. Aside from what I already said about coming in the off season, I mean, that's a big thing to me, getting the off season training in.
Dax was sixth or fifth as a sixth grader, right? Junior high state, he got sixth.
Yeah. No, junior high state this year.
Well, last year as a sixth grader.
Oh, yeah.
He got sixth.
Yeah.
And then this year he's a seventh grader and he got fourth. So, that's like, he's right there on the edge, like, breaking through. So, like, what would you talk to him about?
Open the toolbox up. So, be willing to learn new things and try new things. I think I picked up a lot of new things in middle school that I kept using on through high school. Because the more you learn, the more little tricks you learn which ones work for you the most and which ones you're just, you have a natural ability for. So, when I learned a lot of different moves in middle school, I ran with just maybe, you know, 10 to 15 of them through high school, and they got me through it because I was able to just kind of lock in and hone in on perfecting those ones. So I'd say take the middle school time to really open up the toolbox and pay attention to every technique that your coaches are showing you. Or even, I know with, like, what I'm kind of jealous of, the young kids now, is they've got Instagram and TikTok to see film.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Every day. And, like, you know, when we were younger, it's like, just putting your eyes on wrestling wasn't as common. You know, we could maybe look it up on YouTube.
I couldn't tell you how many times, like, during practice, I'd be like, yo, check this out. I saw this on YouTube today.
Yeah.
Or I saw this on Instagram today. And, like, some of it is really good stuff. And then how I know the man's listening to you is, like, we'll be talking about defending something, and then it'll show up on my phone.
Yeah. Like, no, all right. Yep.
I see you, government.
Yep. Yeah. So it's literally film all day, every day. And, I mean, it's so pay attention to that stuff. Pay attention to Instagram, all the foreign wrestling that you might see, because you might find something from overseas that nobody's doing over here. I didn't see the wrist snaps until my senior year of high school, and now everybody's doing them over here. But, yeah, just, you know, open up the toolbox, wrestle in the off season, and don't cut any weight. I think is one thing for me, is feel the best you can feel. So wrestle up a weight class if you want, because you got to let your body grow. If you let your body grow, you know, it's going to be better for you in the long run.
Unless you can't make the team.
Yeah, unless you can't make the
team.
That's
like the only issues we're into now, because, like, I'm not cutting kids down. Like, in high school, like, a couple kids cut down to where, like, they could compete the best at, and then some of them cut down because they couldn't make the team.
Yeah.
And some of those kids were state placers. They couldn't make the team unless they went down. Yeah. So like that's good.
No, yeah, that's fair. Middle school, especially in the off season, middle school, wrestle your weight. Yes. Whatever you walk around at, don't even look at what you weigh. Show up to the tournament and weigh in whatever you're going to weigh. And even if you're 3 pounds under kind of thing, because you want to be comfortable. And when you're comfortable wrestling, it's just a lot better. So those are a couple things I can think of off the top of my head for some advice.
Anything, you've already said a lot about preparation, you know, for high school. Is there anything that you think you need to add to that about that wrestler that's wanting to go to college and wrestle or go to college, period?
Preparing to go to college for wrestling, freestyle, Greco, folks not doing it all. Yeah. But
your academics is on point too, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Academics is a huge thing, definitely. Especially for the young kids that are coming to high school, get the good grades your freshman year because it's really hard to pull your GPA up if you wait too long. So keep up with the A's and B's freshman, sophomore year. They don't really have to take the ACT anymore, right? Do they? Or like
they do, but like
it helps if they do.
I think so. I think they need to take it and get a score and to get in, and that's important. But then like, not only just like your high school accolades need to get you in, but like you got to keep that standard once you get in, because like you look at you, and you look at your career, and like you, I don't think you would be able to do what you did. Your move your fifth year if you weren't already graduated from OU, you know, or like if your academics were behind in that sense and like you needed to make it up, you might not have been in that situation to transfer schools or something like that, you know. And that's where like, wrestling's super important, but man, this is my life. This is like, as you're seeing now, like with wrestling being done, like, man, I've got to have something I can fall back on and rely on, you know, and like your studies and like your degree is what's always going to be there for you. And it took me like a little while to realize that even after I graduated, but like, man, that's like, that's what's important. Those are the habits you create in high school.
I think so, definitely. I think one thing my dad always told me growing up is like, I'm not going to school to wrestle, I'm wrestling to go to school. So, you know, academically, like wrestling's gonna end at some point. Maybe it ends when you graduate high school, maybe it's after college, maybe you do some you know, the world circuit. But at some point, even for Jordan Burroughs, you know, it's gonna end. And you've gotta be ready for the real world after that. And so, you know, keeping the academics sharp is the number one priority. And wrestling is a tool for life in a lot of ways. And so it's a tool to get your academics done. You know, it's, you know, a lot of guys might have the opportunity to get their scholarships paid for, or get your school paid for through scholarships with wrestling. So use it as a tool. You know, academics is number one over everything. Getting ready for college, one thing I think that I like to let a lot of young kids know is there's nothing that makes me different than who they were when they were young, you know, or who they are right now. As far as I was in the same position. I lost all the time. I wasn't anything special when I was younger in elementary school. So when you look up and you get excited seeing these D1 wrestlers, you're like, oh man, these guys are so good. There's no gifts that I was given when I was born that make me any better than these the younger kids. There's nothing that, the only thing that sets me apart, I think, is that I care about working hard. That's all they need, and so don't look up at these guys that are at the professional level and think that you can't be that. You just gotta, you know, trust that you have the potential to get there, but you gotta trust it. You gotta believe in it. So that's one thing I can think about getting ready for college is trust that you can do it, kind of thing. You know, there's, like I said, there's kids across the board in college that got scholarships that never won a state title. You know, don't think that because you're not getting it done in sixth or seventh grade that you're not able to get there. Like, it's 100% like within your reach, and it's, you know, it's reality for anybody if they want it.
If you could describe your wrestling style, how would you do that?
Maybe like methodical. I'm pretty thoughtful about a lot of the things that I do. I think when I look at myself wrestle, I feel like I wrestle slower than everybody else. Like, I'm pretty kind of stagnant. I'm not really like moving my feet a whole lot, which isn't a great thing. You should move your feet.
I'm just not an athlete.
You know, I think a lot of people recognize that I don't have cauliflower ear coming through college. I wrestle on the outside a lot. I'm not in there banging my head on everybody. Big on the 2-on-1 Russian arm tie. I used that all through high school, a lot in college. Single legs,
Your length.
Length,
your length is like a big deal. I mean, wrestle at a middle class weight, but you're 6 foot tall.
I got long arms, so.
that's probably the biggest. Not the tallness, your arms hang down to your ankles.
My fingertips touch the ground when I bend over a little bit. But length is everything for me. I'm always one of the tallest guys in my weight class, so it definitely helps. Definitely helps. Lots of upper body too. I'm a big upper body. I like to throw. I like to throw when given the chance, but I don't force it. Kind of thing.
Who would you say if you had to pick, like, who's your favorite athlete right now? And it don't have to be a wrestler. It could be, you know, any athlete.
My favorite athlete right now. I mean, I like wrestling a lot, honestly. I think I really like watching Yanni wrestle, Yanni Diakomalis. As far as the young guys go, he's definitely up there for me. When I was coming through like high school, and Ed Ruth wrestled for Penn State, and I kind of modeled my style a lot after him when I was younger. I like to watch a lot of UFC. So in the cage, John Jones, you know what I'm saying? None of my business what he's got going on outside of that. I really like watching John Jones fight, kind of thing.
Time to see you.
Yeah. John Jones. I just watched the Sean O'Malley fight last week, and that was a good fight to watch. He was throwing it.
Cool. One thing I was going to ask you earlier, but I skipped over on accident, is there a difference in how you prepare versus coming to a duel versus a tournament?
Coming to a duel versus a tournament. I did actually notice, because I used to get a lot more nervous in duel settings versus tournament settings. And what I noticed was when I would get ready for the duel, I was very, like, I had my headphones on, and I would warm up, and I was just really honed in versus tournaments, not as honed in, kind of more relaxed and just kind of chilling, waiting till I'm in the hole and then kind of shaking it out, getting ready. And I think I wrestle a lot better in tournaments. So I think I kind of got a little too uptight for a lot of duels. So I stopped doing it. I actually stopped listening to music this last year, because I noticed that I had the noise canceling beats, and when I would take them off, like, I would be listening to music, like, I love, you know, it's got me hyped up, and then I take them off, and I got this, like, noise, like, shock, because I'm like, oh, this, what I was just hearing was not there anymore, and it's quiet, and it would just kind of throw me off a little bit. So I did stop listening to music, and it's kind of made me a little bit more comfortable with, like, the current surrounding, and getting in there. But, I think staying loose, staying relaxed is the key for me, which is easier for me in tournaments. Than duels. Just don't get too worked up with the duels. It's not ideal.
What's your favorite wrestling memory thus far?
Favorite wrestling memory.
And why?
I think state finals my senior year might be my favorite wrestling memory. It's either that. So I got two. So that one was I already talked about it, but like the Luke Server match took him down in overtime, and I had a big section of people. My mom had set it up where it was like she bought like 50 of the blonde wigs, because I had the blonde fro at the time. Yeah. Had the whole crowd with those on, and she had the custom shirts for everybody. And I was actually really upset that she did it leading into the finals, because I was like, man, if I lose this, I'm gonna look like an idiot. But I got it done, and you know they like put it in the newspaper and everything, and everybody was talking to me about it for a couple months. It was really fun. It was the relief, because like after wrestling with him at regionals, you know, it was definitely like, okay, this is a very, very real match for us. So like, you know, who knows? It's gonna be close. That was a really good memory. It was a good feeling, kind of finishing off my senior year, because I'd won OW at the tournament as well, and you know, just knowing it was finally over. I went undefeated with the season. It was like a really good moment. And then another moment, I wrestled this kid, Patrick Ramirez. He's a Greco Fargo champ at Junior Duels.
Yeah.
And
that's the first time I watched Butler wrestle.
Yeah. And he had won Fargo. I'd never done anything at Fargo. And I went and I got behind him in the Greco match, and I tossed him once for four, and immediately straight lifted him back up, threw him for five again. Immediately straight lifted him back up, threw him for five again. I ended up taking him 14-0. And everybody was freaking out, and I'm screaming, I'm like, yeah, and they posted on Flow,
and they gave me a t-shirt for like throwing fives or whatever. And they like post on like this big like House of Highlights Instagram, and I got a little bit of clout for the week, which was nice. But that was really, really fun, like a really fun moment for me for sure. Those are probably my top two.
Last thing I got is, what's next for Jacob Butler?
What's next? I'm about to go to work, I think. I'm gonna get my surgery. I gotta get my ACL reconstruction here in a couple weeks, get my hand surgery, and then gotta heal up, start working. I'm not sure exactly where my location's gonna be yet, but I have a solid job lined up. I'm gonna go work, and once I heal up, hopefully start training again, and wrestle some freestyle and Greco, see what I can do with it.
100%.
One of my favorite matches is when you beat that Arizona kid at UConn.
Oh, yeah. Adlano Escobar or whatever.
Yeah, like, he was a Fargo, like, he was a cadet champion, I think, or something. And they were coming there, like, touting him to be so good. And you beat him, like, 14-2 or something.
It was, yeah.
That was awesome.
He was one of those kids that was, like, all, like, serious hyped up before the match.
Yeah,
like,
he was running through people, too. Yeah. And, like, everybody was like, oh, he's good. And I was like, watch, Butler's about to fold this kid up. Yeah,
I did put it on.
And, like, they hyped him more than ever, man, like, in the seating meeting. And I was just like, all right, bro.
Yep.
All right, then.
Honestly, the one from this last summer was pretty hyped, too, beating Pantaleo. Yeah, that was fun, too.
I like at the Western Conference when we bumped you up and you folded that kid up in that cradle about 10 times.
Oh, that's that cash kid.
Janikowski.
Yeah. I know he was
mad. They were so mad because we put Nate Adamson down at that lower weight.
It was funny because you kept, I got one, you go again, and I hit it again, again.
Hitting.
I think I crossface cradled him six times in one match. It was funny.